SS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today proposes a rule to help workers beat the heat.
It would require workers get access to drinking water and a break area to cool down if the heat index reaches 80 degrees. And at 90 degrees, employers would need to provide mandatory paid rest breaks, among other actions. According to senior administration officials, the rule would impact about 36 million people who work outside or in hot indoor environments like warehouses and restaurants.
ABC's Molly Nagel at the White House. Pacific Gas and Electric warning 12,000 homes and businesses in 8 Northern California counties they may have their power cut off today into Wednesday because of wildfire risk. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is in Kyiv for talks with Ukrainian President Zelensky, his first visit to the country since Russia invaded 2 years ago. Orban, known as Putin's closest ally in the European Union. This is ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maryland Governor Wes Moore visited Wisconsin over the weekend to campaign for President Biden and rally black voters. Governor Moore asked Democrats to continue supporting the president, despite his rocky debate performance. According to a new CBS poll, 72% of registered voters do not believe Biden is mentally capable of serving another term. July 1st is National Postal Workers Day, a celebration of the job they do to deliver the mail. Postal workers provide a vital service, especially during big election years. Daniel Cortez is with the American Postal Workers Union.
Whether it be America's election mail or letters from grandparents, care packages to our service members overseas, vital prescriptions for our seniors and veterans, it's important to remember that all of that happens because of the dedication of the postal workers day in and day out.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff. And this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Rockies tonight.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Rockies in game two of their four-game series in Denver. Last night, the Rockies held on to win 8-7 in 10 innings. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell finally back in action after a year plagued with injuries, shoulder surgery, a broken left hand, a hamstring.
I mean, the thing is for me, it's like obviously I've missed a lot of times with unfortunate circumstances. But like the work, just even on the mental side that I put in, I feel like has helped me kind of stay in tune with everything that's been going on.
Mitchell with a hit last night in two at-bats. How good is he? Christian Yelich.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, you know, he really hasn't played a ton of games. You know, he's a special athlete when he's out there. He might be the fastest guy on the team.
NBA, the Bucks signing 32-year-old guard DeLon Wright, whose last team was the Miami Heat. College football, Hardy Watts, one of the highest-ranked offensive linemen, has committed to Wisconsin. 6'6", 290 pounds out of Dexter High near Boston, the same school where JFK graduated from. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Todd Albaugh.
Join us next time when Luke Mathers joins us for a Tuesday Tangent. Luke will talk a little sports, talk about the 4th of July and house painting.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Rain and scattered thunderstorms likely today and tonight, and there could be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch of rain possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. Today, cloudy, breezy, 73, rain likely. Tonight, thunderstorm 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high near 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden addresses the nation on presidential immunity. We'll have all the coverage. We'll also see whether or not he's had SEAL Team 6 on speed dial this whole time.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your Monday, because Tuesday is going to be a little on the damp side. Good morning, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome in. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Unfortunately, I can't give you real great news as far as weather is concerned, especially if you're somebody that's still got some hay laying down in a field or a project that needs some dry weather to get finished. Madison area is definitely going to pick up the most rain, at least on the front end of this storm. Looks like anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to maybe as much as 2 inches of new rain possible during the day today. More rain in the forecast for tonight. We'll jump into Wednesday, hoping things dry off. La Crosse, you're going to see rain as well, but probably only about 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch rain. Even along the lakeshore, Milwaukee, probably 1/4 to 1/2 inch of rain. But Madison looks like the big winner today. Daytime highs expected to top out right around 73 degrees. Could get some gusty winds. Then, like I said, tonight, more rain in the forecast. Wednesday, maybe a 30% chance of rain, but hopefully starting to dry out. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, has the weather details in about 15 minutes. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is stepping in. He's going to recap for us how the market is still reacting to Friday's big acreage report on what corn and soybean acres look like this year. And I'm going to take you to Janesville, where one farm is still trying to recover after that F2 tornado came through just a little over a week ago. McFarland Pheasant Farm still trying to find all of their birds. Bill McFarland's going to give us an update, and that's all on the way.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Nothing says summer like sinking your teeth into a buttery cob of sweet corn. And just in time for the 4th of July celebrations, early sweet corn varieties are on track to be ready for picking. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Skelly's Farm Market in Janesville is looking forward to a successful sweet corn harvest starting on Independence Day. Sixth generation Scott Skelly and his wife Laura give us an update.
It's doing good. We've had lots of rain, so there's no lack of that compared to last year. But yeah, the crops have been doing good. You know, we're still, you know, a few weeks out. We had a warm spring, though, so corn went in and germinated really quick this year. So we're very much in the very southern part of Wisconsin. So we're usually having sweet corn ready maybe around the 8th or 10th of July. I think there's probably a good chance we'll have 4th of July sweet corn this year.
When people are driving down the highway and they see corn in a field, that's not sweet corn. So how do you know you're looking at sweet corn?
So the funny thing is that, yeah, I grew up in suburban Milwaukee and I had never seen a cornfield. And one of the first things that I had asked Scott, I was like, when you're driving down the road and you see corn, why can't you see down the rows? Like, it's planted in rows, like, right? Like, I had no idea how these things were planted. And then he, you know, told me how you plant a field. You go around the outside first, and that's why you can't run down the rows or anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, how you can tell the difference is that sweet corn definitely doesn't get 8 feet tall or 7 feet tall or however tall field corn stalks are. And, yeah, I mean, they're tasseled. That early stuff that they're picking, it's like knee high, like the ears down there. So yeah, tassels look different on top.
How many varieties do you typically grow? Give us the science here a little bit behind the sweet corn itself.
We grow about four or five different varieties of sweet corn. The first variety we probably only pick for about 3 or 4 days. It's one that comes out when the ground's pretty cold and will grow fast. It's not going to get to have huge ears. But if you want corn by the 4th of July or as soon as possible, those varieties get you in. It has good flavor, but you know, corn that has a little longer to develop, those varieties, you know, have some of the best flavor of the season. And really what we call our late season corn, quote unquote, is ready by 3 weeks into a 2 month season. I mean, so we'll be picking in that those later varieties. But yeah, they wouldn't handle the early cold planting in the spring as well. They might germinate a little slower, a little longer days. And sometimes you got to mess with those varieties a little bit. You know, this year where you have really wet fields and you just can't get in there for 7 days, you know, we typically will plant corn every 3 to 4, sweet corn every 3 to 4 days. So we always have corn coming on at peak ripeness. Well, sometimes you got to mess with the varieties a little bit. If you got too much rain and it was 7 days, you weren't able to get in, then you might go back and plant some that might just have a couple quicker, you know, shorter day ripening to kind of hope balance that out. And it's somewhat of a guessing game, and you just kind of hope for the best and hope that the weather, it'll all even out. But, you know, really with sweet corn, you want corn that's not chewy. You know, as much as we're used to eating that from canned corn or frozen corn from the grocery store, people tend to like a tender sweet corn. And that's where we, you know, tend to pick it when it's, you know, on that more not overly ripe stage. And that's what really, you know, gives it some of the great flavor, is just having a great texture with it too.
What are some of the things you have to think about when it comes to disease and pests?
Yeah, every crop's going to be a little bit different. Sweet corn pests are maybe one of the bigger issues than compared to some of the other fruits and vegetables we grow. You know, those corn earworms really like getting in there, and nobody likes peeling back their ear of corn and having a worm in there. So, you know, there does need to be some control with that. But that being said, you know, disease isn't quite as much of an issue in sweet corn as it might be in something like pumpkins. So pumpkins, for example, we're going to typically try to not plant on the same ground for 6 to 8 years in between plantings of pumpkins, just because the disease can carry over in the soil really easy. We want to do everything we can to, you know, naturally eliminate that if possible. You know, we'll still use some fungicides and things to help prevent that, but that's a key component. Now, the problem is pumpkins are part of the same family as watermelons and cucumbers and muskmelons. So any of those vine crops will carry those same diseases. So those also need to be factored into the rotation of, you know, trying to just prevent that disease carryover.
Give me a sense, how much sweet corn are you typically harvesting a year?
Probably somewhere between about 40 and 50 acres each year.
When you've got that much coming on, like, what other inputs are required? Do you need to irrigate?
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, sweet corn's going to be growing somewhat similar. You know, it's still being planted with the same type of planters. It's just where our neighbors might go out and plant, you know, 300 acres of field corn in a day. We're doing good if we're planting an acre and a half a day. And it's just because it's the reality of how it's going to be harvested and how it's coming in. But, you know, yeah, a lot of your inputs will be similar on that. And it's just a matter of watching your ripeness, because you really do have a narrow harvest window. You know, there's only a couple days there where you're going to really be at that peak ripeness, and that might be where we're different than some farms. Certainly other farms do just like we do, but, you know, because we're planting every couple days, it's always coming on. We're not just planting twice for, you know, a month period and picking it underripe and picking it overripe, and, you know, we're really trying to hit a peak ripeness all the time.
Walk us again through your peak ripeness season, and how many people are typically coming out to enjoy that?
We harvest corn anywhere from early July through sometimes October 1st. usually it's about mid to late September, though. It's planted every 3 days through about mid-June or so. And, yeah, it's ripe every, yeah, a new planting's ripe every 3 days from July through September.
Give me a sense of demand. Just how much do people love it?
I mean, we do a big business here at the farm, but we also run 8 roadside stands every single day, July through probably right before Labor Day. And we end it there, or end most of our stands there, because our workers go back to school. But we'll keep 1 or 2 stands open through hopefully mid-September if we can. And we're also at the Janesville Farmers Market every Saturday, too. So on Saturday, we actually operate 10 locations, including the farm. And that's daily, picked fresh every morning daily. So, yeah, it's quite a demand.
Well, it takes a lot of manpower then, too, to meet that demand. So when you said you've got all, you know, the farmer's market and the roadside stands, I mean, how many hands does it take to get this all done for sweet corn season alone?
So there's two separate crews. So we have a retail crew on hand, and in the summer we carry about 40 to 55 people, and that's between full and part-time staff. And then on the picking crew, every day we have like about 6 to 10 workers out in the field, and they can pick a decent amount of corn for, you know, up to 10 locations, I guess, on that Saturday in about an hour and a half.
Is it hard to convince high school kids or anyone really to do this work? I guess, how has the labor market been for you guys?
It's always about trying to set your prices in a way that you can pay your staff as fair as possible. Nobody really enjoys doing the hard work, and it's tough. I mean, it's hard on the body. We've tried to mechanize where we can. We still hand-pick our sweet corn, hand-pick pretty much all our produce. There are options out there. We could have mechanical harvesters, but we feel in a lot of cases it kind of bruises up the sweet corn, for example. So we'd like to avoid that if we can. You know, it is a viable option for some farms, but we will use things like a machine called a veg conveyor. So as they're picking up onto a conveyor belt. The conveyor belt is basically hangs off the back of the tractor. It takes the corn over to the tractor and then up on another conveyor up into bulk bins that we're picking into. So doing things like that helps take some of the backbreaking work out, and can be used for things like watermelon and muskmelon picking too, instead of the alternative where you're throwing watermelons from, you know, across a line of people to the wagon. So
when you guys recruit workers, for some people, is it their first time out on a farm? And how do they feel about this type of experience in agriculture?
Yeah, a lot of the times it is. We hire, at least on the retail side, we hire 15-year-olds, and 15-year-olds just can't work here. Besides, I think Culver's maybe hires 15-year-olds too. So a lot of the times it's their first retail job in the first place. And they're just like, oh, well, like, you have to teach them everything from when strawberries are ready, when corn is ready, like when pumpkin's ready, because they just have no idea. And it's fascinating to teach that part of it, because I was that person too. And again, I don't know, it's fun educating everybody. And then, you know, a year in, they're like, oh man, I just knew nothing. And now, like, I can answer all the questions, all the weird questions that customers come up with. And yeah, I don't know, it's fun educating.
Skelly's Farm Market in Janesville, looking forward to getting everyone involved in agriculture, from their new employees to their customers who come from all over to get a taste of fresh-picked sweet corn. Scott and Laura Skelly expect the sweet corn crop to be ready a touch early this year in time for the 4th of July. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning, weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Senate endorsed a ballot measure June 25th prohibiting non-citizens from voting, for which there is already existing law. And the Senate declined another measure repealing a racist Jim Crow-era literacy test to vote, still enshrined in the state's constitution. There is no evidence that more than a handful of non-citizens have voted in any federal or state elections nationally. Yet non-citizen voting has been among the loudest accusations in this election cycle. All 50 states already prohibit non-citizens from voting in state elections, and a 1996 federal law prohibits it in federal elections. Ballotpedia reports that 16 municipalities and the District of Columbia do allow non-citizen voting, but in municipal elections only. North Carolina would become the fifth state this year to put a measure on the November ballot. The state Senate also rejected a measure proposing repeal of a Jim Crow-era literacy test for voting enshrined in the state constitution since 1899, even after the 1965 Voting Rights Act banned such discrimination in voting. In a 109-0 vote, the state House approved sending the ballot measure to voters to repeal it, but WRAL reports that the Senate voted the measure down, with one senator suggesting that the bill was too last minute. Read the measures and local reporting linked from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
on the next show. My good friend and retired attorney Sandy Williams will be here to talk about the recent Supreme Court decisions and how they affect you and me.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Me for this early in the day, Stu. The rain in the Madison area just started since I've gotten into the office. Now, granted, that's been a few hours, but what's going on out there and who's getting beat up first?
Well, let's just kind of talk about it. You mentioned Madison. From what I see, the airport saying 1/14 of an inch. Okay, that's a little rain. The Fond du Lac County Airport over here in the east, 1/18 of an inch. And then I look to the west and northwest, and things change. La Crosse, according to the airport now, 1 1/33, 1 1/3 in the nighttime. And Eau Claire has 6/10, Wausau 42/100. A lot more rain the further north. Little Iola up in Waupaca County, 49/100 of an inch already today. So the rain has been heavier, especially in the west and the northwest part of the state, Pam. And you look at radar this morning, and showers extend all the way up from southwest to northeast Iowa, southwest, central, all of northeast Wisconsin, right out to the tip of the Door Peninsula, not quite seeing it yet. But almost everybody else has had some rain. Some of those heavier rains, like La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, kind of pushing off to the east now at this time of the day. Park Falls getting a little scattered shower activity the way it looks in the northwest. But more rain up into the UP, western parts of Lake Superior as well. So kind of a wet start to the day. This initial rain will pass through. We'll get a little break. But I do expect redevelopment again this afternoon and on toward the night. And that's when amounts could add up again. I mean, all right, maybe you had 0.4 inch so far like Wausau. You may add another 0.4 or even another inch as we head through tonight and end up wrapping it up late tonight or really early into tomorrow morning. So we are going to have some more heavy rains around. It's a system we have to watch. Low pressure out west of Iowa is expected to head up toward the eastern parts of the UP by early tomorrow. So it's going to cross right over Wisconsin, working with a cool front. That front still out in the eastern Dakotas will help to channel some of that moisture up out of the south, keep that rain possibility around a little later today or on into the nighttime. Temperatures warming up. Yeah, we stayed a little cool yesterday, and today we will again, but heading back up toward the lower 80s, more like normal again as we head on toward Wednesday, and a warm one for Thursday, but already by the 4th of July Thursday, the next low builds in from the west. Boy, I'm full of good news today. Another rain chance popping in. Maybe not until later Thursday or into Thursday night, but another round of rainfall. There may be some amounts we'll have to talk about by Friday, or it could be up to a half inch or even more. I'll have another look at that forecast right after this.
It is one of the best grilling opportunities in the calendar year, 4th of July. This year, we're stretching it out. So why don't you make sure you're stretching out your supplies from Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous farm-made Pam Yonke. I was just there, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. And hey, listen, I got to tell you, they are extending their store hours yet again, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. Saturday, 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Check their Facebook page for even more hours coming soon. They want to make it easy on you. Listen, you want to make an impression on the people that you're hosting for any 4th of July celebration? You want it to come from Bavaria Sausage. You want to amp up a neighbor's grill out event? Why not show up with Bavaria Sausage there? Hey, I say, stay away from the store and instead opt for old world authentic flavors and new flavors that are in development now. BavariaSausage.com, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast. Now, is this moisture front that we're dealing with now, is that part of that Hurricane Beryl, or is this another category nightmare?
Yeah, there's a separation between what's going on in the southern parts of the U.S., especially the southeast, if you will, and what's up here in the central part of the state or central part of the country. But that moisture does tend to funnel up out of the south as well. It's not all one big area of rain. but some of that moisture is pushing up here too and pooling on this low. What I'm anticipating today is going to be a mostly cloudy day and the morning showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. We'll get a break, some redevelopment again mid-late afternoon into the evening hours. There could be some more localized heavier amounts here late today. We have to be ready. Temps in the low 70s for most of us, upper 60s the further you head north, and the south winds a good 5 to 15. They'll even gust up around 30 now and again, especially in the afternoon. And overnight, mostly cloudy skies, showers and storms early in the nighttime, could rumble up again late in the night, but will begin to end from west to east tonight. Temps falling into the low to mid 60s as the winds become west at 5 to 10. A little break Wednesday, maybe rain early in the morning in the eastern part of the state, mostly sunny otherwise, and even low 80s start popping up with west winds 5 to 10. Right. Thursday, Pam, the next rain.
Ugh, yike. Well, again, everybody keep your rain gauges active because apparently this is going to be a big one. Thanks, Stu. Catch up with you tomorrow and kind of retrace our steps, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with us. Go ahead, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. That's our talk text line. Use it.
This is the Mid...
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I've got a couple reminders for you about minimum payments and credit cards. Right, get ready. I'm going to say two different things, both of which I bet sound familiar. Thing number one, never pay less than the minimum payment on your credit card. For some of us, there are months where that might not be possible. And if you're in that camp, I'm so sorry. I want to encourage you to set yourself a goal of never ever paying less than the minimum. And thing number two is, always pay more than the minimum payment. Just paying minimums month in and month out won't get you very far. Your total amount that you owe, the principal, is barely gonna budge. Ideally, you're only using your credit card if you could pay off the whole balance every month. When that's not possible, try paying more than the minimum, but never less. For more reminders and money tips, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today proposes a rule to help workers beat the heat.
It would require workers get access to drinking water and a break area to cool down if the heat index reaches 80 degrees. And at 90 degrees, employers would need to provide mandatory paid rest breaks, among other actions. According to senior administration officials, the rule would impact about 36 million people who work outside or in hot indoor environments like warehouses and restaurants.
ABC's Molly Nagel at the White House. Pacific Gas and Electric warning 12,000 homes and businesses in 8 Northern California counties they may have their power cut off today into Wednesday because of wildfire risk. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban is in Kyiv for talks with Ukrainian President Zelensky. his first visit to the country since Russia invaded 2 years ago. Orban, known as Putin's closest ally in the European Union. This is ABC.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Maryland Governor Wes Moore visited Wisconsin over the weekend to campaign for President Biden and rally black voters. Governor Moore asked Democrats to continue supporting the president, despite his rocky debate performance. According to a new CBS poll, 72% of registered voters do not believe Biden is mentally capable of serving another term. July 1st is National Postal Workers Day, a celebration of the job they do to deliver the mail. Postal workers provide a vital service, especially during big election years. Daniel Cortez is with the American Postal Workers Union.
Whether it be America's election mail or letters from grandparents, care packages to our service members overseas, vital prescriptions for our seniors and veterans, it's important to remember that all of that happens because of the dedication of the postal workers day in and day out.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff. And this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Rockies tonight.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Rockies in game two of their four-game series in Denver. Last night, the Rockies held on to win 8-7 in 10 innings. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell finally back in action after a year plagued with injuries, shoulder surgery, a broken left hand, a hamstring.
I mean, the thing is for me, it's like obviously I've missed a lot of times with unfortunate circumstances. But like the work, just even on the mental side that I put in, I feel like has helped me kind of stay in tune with everything that's been going on.
Mitchell with a hit last night in two at-bats. How good is he? Christian Yelich.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, you know, he really hasn't played a ton of games. You know, he's a special athlete when he's out there. He might be the fastest guy on the team.
NBA, the Bucks signing 32-year-old guard DeLon Wright, whose last team was the Miami Heat. College football, Hardy Watts, one of the highest-ranked offensive linemen, has committed to Wisconsin. 6'6", 290 pounds out of Dexter High near Boston, the same school where JFK graduated from. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll discuss the implications of the Supreme Court's ruling for Jack Smith's continuing case in 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Rain and scattered thunderstorms likely today and tonight, and there could be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch of rain possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. Today, cloudy, breezy, 73, rain likely. Tonight, thunderstorm 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer with a high near 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, Mino-sheen. You smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Not exactly what we'd hoped for as far as weather today. A measurable rain in the forecast. Really doesn't matter where you are. Along the lakeshore, a little bit less. Madison, they're the big winners today with up to 2 inches of rain possible. La Crosse area, again, anywhere from about a half an inch to three quarters of an inch of new rainfall. Temperatures are going to be moderate today. 73 are expected high, but gusty winds on the way. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Stick around. We're going to catch up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. The market got a little bit of a surprise last week with some pretty big numbers on the number of corn and soybean acres farmers are planting this year. But all those numbers were gathered before all the flooding took place in June. What does John see developing out of that story? It's on the way. So today is the second day of July. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1900, the Zeppelin takes off for the very first time. It was one of those rigid aircrafts named after Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin, the inventor of that technology. Took off on this day back in 1900. On this day in 1937, American aviator Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan heard from for the very last time before disappearing. And of course, that's still a great mystery. That happened on this day back in 1937. Happy birthday today to, what do we call her? Actress and definitely somebody the media follows, Lindsay Lohan, 38 years young. Larry David, creator of the Seinfeld show, he's 77. Happy birthday to you both. And now you know. Well, weather has been a focal point for Wisconsin agriculture all growing season in 2024. And it's been just a little over a week, about 10 days, since the folks in the Rock County community of Janesville were hit with an F2 tornado. Honestly, the target landed almost immediately on top of McFarland Pheasant Farm. McFarland Pheasant Farm is not only the largest pheasant producer in the United States, it's the largest pheasant producer in North America, and it is one of the most globally recognized pheasant producers. So when your operations get entirely wrecked by a F2 tornado, the world pays attention. I caught up yesterday with Bill McFarland, owner and operator of McFarland Pheasants, and asked him to give me a little bit of an update. Since four of his barns were essentially demolished, it's been all hands on deck to try to get baby birds moved from one facility to the other. Bill explains the scene that he's been dealing with since that F2.
We have about 200 acres of pens on our farm, and 16 of the acres, the pens were basically gone. I mean, when we looked Sunday, they were just completely ripped to nothing. So we had a lot ahead of us to take control, not only to see how many birds were killed or dead, but all the escapes we had. We had a lot of pheasants and partridges saying, "Yeehaw, I can get out of here," and They did. They were all over the place, and they still are today. There's still a bunch of them out.
Man, that is unbelievable to think about, just the structural damage that was done. And it's not like you had shabby barns. These were all well-built buildings, well-built fences, well-built enclosures. This really shouldn't have happened.
Well, I think of it as, you know, if I'm one of the piggies, you know, my house is made of brick. You know, I think that in the way we build the pens is pretty strong, but it didn't hold up to this tornado at all.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Bill McFarland along with us again. McFarland Pheasants, it's a staple in Wisconsin, but it's also a source of pheasants and partridge relied on in the United States, North America, and around the world. We talked about timing, Bill, and that the timing on this, not very good. Explain for people what stage those birds or your business was at when the tornado came through.
In the summer, we hatch. Basically, we have our first hatches in March. We hatch weekly from March until the second or third week of August. And those are the babies that then are raised up through the summer. And then this fall, we deliver them to customers all over as mature pheasants are released to stock for hunting. So the stage we're in is our barns are filled. Our pens are not all filled. We have a lot of empty pens because it's still early in the pen season. So it offered us an opportunity for some place for these birds that got loosed and the birds that were in the buildings that were now secure. We needed to get them out. And we hadn't moved birds out in a few weeks because of the wet weather that was coming, but we'd had the pens ready. They were set up. One of the employees had got ahead and had a bunch of pens ready. So when we started making plans this past Sunday, they involved moving birds out. And generally speaking, when we move birds from brooder barns to pens, 15,000 birds is a pretty big number. On Monday, they moved 30,000 birds as a crew of people moved 30,000 birds from the barns to the pens. And they did another 30 on Tuesday, and they did another 30 on Wednesday. So as of Thursday, I was given the report that all the birds that were in the barns were secure. There was no more flying out of the barns. Everything had food and water. And they started on the pen operation on Friday. And today I was told that by the end of the day today, the pheasants that were in the pens that had no roof have all been herded to the best of our ability into pens that do have roofs. And you can imagine trying to get birds to go someplace you want, and there's no roof. That means if they at any moment they can say, hey, I'm out of here, and they fly up and away. But they've got the birds secured in the pens as of today, so we're way ahead of where we were a week ago.
That's excellent.
And I'm really proud of my employees, too. It was really a group effort, and nobody got upset. It was just, this is what we have to deal with. Let's do it.
Amazing staff for sure. Bill McFarland, owner and operator of McFarland Pheasant, the largest pheasant farm in North America, supplying the world with pheasants and partridge. Still back in business, still rebuilding, and Bill said they will indeed rebuild. I'll have more on this story at MidwestFarmReport.com. Let's take a break. We'll take a quick look at markets in a moment. And John Heinberg on the way.
Nothing tastes better than a bite of sweet corn on a hot summer day. Our next episode with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association takes us to Skelly's Farm Market in Janesville. Scott and Laura Skelly not only raise sweet corn, but the seventh generation. Laura tells us what it means to raise a family in agriculture and know that their daughter has a viable business to come back to.
We have Sarah here, our 8-year-old daughter, growing up on the farm. It's funny because she always says, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the farm to hang out. And, like, what kid is just like, oh, yeah, the place where mom and dad work and I can eat strawberries out in the field fresh. I'm jealous, honestly, that I didn't get this lifestyle growing up because it teaches you really hard work and the value of hard work. And it's teaching her, honestly, just a lot of stuff about life that I just didn't have growing up because I didn't have this background.
You can hear Skelly's farm market story and learn what it takes to grow sweet corn at GoWIAgTourism.com.
So yesterday was an important day for Wisconsin dairy producers. That is the day the Federal Milk Marketing Order Reform announced their recommendations. Now, that's just kind of the beginning of the next phase of the process. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative says now that the recommendation, once it gets published, then the clock starts to tick. From the day of publication, there's a 30-day window to give feedback to the Ag Marketing Service. 60 days after public comments close, the AMS, Ag Marketing Service, will release their final recommendation. Right now, Edge Dairy Cooperative says they believe that after an educational period, once the final recommendation is published, that there will be a vote on whether or not to go forward with those changes, probably early in 2025. So dairy farmers, definitely get in contact with your milk broker, your dairy cooperative, and find out what's in it for you with these changes now being proposed. Speaking of dairy, yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 2¾ cents to 185 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny at $1.90, but AA butter gained a penny and a quarter to 313 and three quarters per pound. The fluid milk this morning, pretty quiet. August milk's unchanged right now, going into cheese, the Class 3 market, 2,007 a hundredweight. Right now, December corn is up a penny at 421. November soybeans are up a nickel at 1116. September wheat, that's down four right now at 586 a bushel. Wisconsin farmers are losing confidence in the corn and soybean crop they've got out there. This week, the corn condition rating was at 61% good to excellent, down another 4 percentage points. Soybeans are considered 57% good to excellent, down 7 percentage points. Winter wheat, 83% of that crop called good to excellent, but that's down 3 percentage points. And now we're going to have to start keeping an eye on the potato crop. Last week, they were happy with what everything brought them as far as weather. This week, the potato condition rating, 88% good to excellent. That's down 5 percentage points in just 1 week. So kind of a developing story there. What is developing as far as stories in the marketplace? Up next, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joining us live to give you a little insight into what traders are talking about. If you've got a question for John, feel free to share it now. Our talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue and democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on our next show, Kevin Van Ness from Talk of the Town sits in while Johnny's on vacation. Mary Rohde from On Broadway joins us to share all the events coming up for the 4th of July. And we'll have another installment of our Neighborhood Focus with NBC 26.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The time we get through this storm and talking with Stu tomorrow, it's going to be very important. Remember that line again, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Hang on to that. We'll get her taken care of later this morning, if not within the next hour. Our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us live this morning. Always want to remind you about their website, TotalFarmMarketing.com. Toll-free number to call, 800-334-9779. Let's jump into it, John. Friday was the big prospective planting report. Caught the attention a little bit by surprise, not so much the acres as the amount of grain that we still have on hand. What's the story this morning?
Yeah, that was a pretty, especially for corn, it was a very disappointing report on Friday. And obviously the market's reflecting that here going into the start of this week. And, first off, let's touch on that acres, 91.5 million acres. That was well above expectations. I had one fear going into that report. Remember back in March, there were 6 million acres that were unaccounted for. And seems like some of that found its way back into this report in terms of corn acres. Cotton acres were higher, too. So there was a couple areas there that we saw that acre jump come in. Again, that was well above trade expectations, and that just adds to the supply pile, almost kind of nullifies some of this areas that are seeing the heavy wetness, because we could lose 1 million acres of production and still be above what the market was expecting for that report on Tuesday. So again, it affects things there. But then the biggest thing to me, the knife in the back and then the twist of the knife in my mind, was the fact that that corn stocks number came in at just under 5 billion bushels. That's up 890 million bushels from last year, 120 million bushels above expectations. And it just shows us we got a fairly large supply of corn out there. But then on top of that, 3 billion of that is still in producers' hands, up 37% year over year. So that becomes an immediate rally killer. If we do get any type of price moving to the higher side, we need to see those products will start moving, limiting that market overall, which is extremely difficult in this window. So that grain stock side of it was really probably the death in the hill in terms of the price here. And again, maybe any potential of a strong summer rally, barring any major changes in weather, because right now, even though some people are extra wet and I feel for them, the majority of the Corn Belt is looking very, very good right now. In fact, even those crop ratings yesterday, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, all saw corn and soybean ratings improve by 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%.
So Wisconsin is the weak link here.
Soybeans, yeah, we're one of the worst rated soybeans in the nation in terms of that. We're at 57% good to excellent. Corn, we're a little bit better, but we're still in the bottom handful of states in terms of our rating. Again, that's just reflective of that wet weather that's come through the core of the state here, and getting it again this morning. And it's very difficult talking to producers. Those areas are just struggling to get something established. It'd be really nice to see things dry out here for a little while, at least to get some crops going and getting out of the water.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Remember their website, TotalFarmMarketing.com. And if you want to call them, 800-334-9779. John, one of the overarching issues that we continue to face and has been making headlines, lack of global demand all the way around. They just came back and said that this is going to be one of those record years when it comes to the deficit situation on exports.
Yeah, when it comes to U.S. ag trade, we've always been running at a positive, or at least the last handful of years since the COVID situation. We were at least running neutral in terms of exports versus imports. But 2024 is looking like a bit of a difficult year. Currently, right now, the USDA Economic Research Service is forecasting a trade deficit of $32 billion on U.S. agricultural exports versus imports. Now, some of that is definitely reflected in terms of our policies toward China over the last handful of years. Obviously, it started with the tariff situation back during the end of the Trump administration. Hasn't changed much, with just the common rhetoric that's out there. But in the Biden administration, China has made it very clear that they're going to try to not rely on U.S. agricultural imports for the most part, especially in grains. Now, right now, we're looking at grains being down about 23% for corn, soybeans, and other grains year over year in terms of those imports into China or exports into China. So that's a very disappointing thing. Here we're looking at a very large supply picture, and we really need to, as a market and producers and things along those lines, or the trade groups, really need to find some way to get some demand back into our marketplace and get this product moved. You know, we continue to produce very good crops. Our producers are efficient, best in the world by far. But at the same time, if we can't move this product out, we're just going to be sitting on a surplus that could take years for us to clear through.
For people that haven't been paying attention to, although I may give you the market, what really alarms me, John, is to see the new crop corn price well below the $4 a bushel mark.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like I said, with those numbers that we got Friday, and obviously, you know, everybody's asking about the wet acres and the flooding in Iowa, Minnesota, in South Dakota, where's that all coming to play? You know, those acres are planted acres right now, and they won't come out of that report until September or even late August when we start getting to see the prevent plant numbers, or we see the unharvested acre numbers and things of that nature. But again, when you start looking at 91.5 million, that leaves us about 83.5 million will get harvested. You know, it's still ample of supply in terms of what's out there, even with those acres figured into the picture. So again, the market may be a little more late reacting. Wet years typically are that way. We see maybe the changes happen at the end of the year versus, you know, instantaneously now, like you see in a dry year where everything gets affected and it's very, very noticeable.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Don't forget, TotalFarmMarketing.com, 800-334-9779. See you tomorrow.
This is the Mid.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just got to hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The science of making meat more enjoyable today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The summer barbecue season is underway, and I'm not talking just about the hot weather. One person whose mission is for you to have a better grilling experience is Kelly Varick, an animal science researcher at the University of Arkansas.
I always joke that it's my job to make steaks taste bad or steaks taste good, and we try to figure out why.
Varick says meat shoppers likely have no idea that meat science is a thing.
When it comes to meat science research, it's one of those things that people don't think about because they're going around the grocery store, they're just going to pick up their meat products. They don't think about meat science until something goes wrong.
Varick shares the answer to a question we've all thought about when it comes to purchasing fresh meats.
When beef turns from that bright cherry red color that everybody expects to see in the retail case and it starts to turn brown, maybe a dark red color, people don't like it as much. And so it's not necessarily going bad. There's a reaction called oxidation that's causing that change in color. What we're trying to do is help reduce that food waste by improving that color stability of that muscle.
There's a short online video of Kelly Varick explaining her work. You'll find a link to it on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. And thanks to University of Arkansas video producer Payden Johnson for his assistance. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Come
Coming up on the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel joins us to talk about the Supreme's recent decisions. Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The